John laughed. "I'll be very surprised if there is a letter for me."
"Oh, come on," Hallam said. "You must have pretty girls longing for you to return."
It was a reasonable question. John Chester was nearly 30, well set up, with dark brown curly hair and a twinkle in his eye that might easily capture a maiden's fancy. "What about you?" he asked, skillfully sidestepping the question. "Did you leave any broken hearts behind?"
"If I did, I hope my wife never learns of them. She was expecting a child when I left, and it may have been born by now."
"Congratulations. Your first?"
"No, the third. To tell the truth, we can't really afford any more."
"So you find children expensive?" John asked.
"Endlessly. Luckily, my eldest daughter is very pretty, so she may marry a millionaire and save the family."
"I am sure you can find her one," John said with a grin. "Plenty of millionaires must travel in your ship, but I have always found that pretty girls are few and far between."
Hallam regarded him with good-natured cynicism.
"That is probably because their careful fathers are keeping them well out of your path," he observed.
John roared with laughter and did not deny it.
"But I would be surprised if you really suffered from a shortage of female company, anywhere you go,"
Hallam added, not without a touch of envy.
"There seems to be a lack of unmarried Englishmen, and I have been told many times that a man with a female at home is a man to be avoided."
"I should have thought out of sight, out of mind," John replied coolly. "Who's to know what you're doing on a trip round the Mediterranean, or, as I have been travelling, far away on distant oceans, where an Englishman is as rare as a glass of cool champagne?"
"At least you can get that here," said Hallam, "if you can afford it."
"That's the problem," John said. "I often can't. What little I have has been spent on travelling. It isn't comfortable to do that when you haven't much cash. But I prefer travelling uncomfortably to not travelling at all."
"Then how will you manage at home?" Hallam asked.
"By doing what I have always done, staying clear of women with marriage in their eyes."
"But every woman has marriage in her eyes," Hallam pointed out. "Unless she is married already, and then she has a husband under her heel."
"Where no woman will ever have me," John declared firmly.
"Then you will be a bachelor all your days," Hallam predicted.
"Not at all. I know exactly the kind of girl I want, and when the time comes, I shall choose her. Sweet-natured, kind, docile."
"Women are not docile any more," said Hallam, aghast at this lack of realism. "They have advanced ideas. They want to be emancipated."
"That kind of girl would not suit me at all," John said. "What man wants a wife who is always arguing with him?"
"No man wants that, but it's what they get," added Hallam gloomily. "My friend, you have been away from England too long. You know nothing about the new woman."
"And you do?" John asked with a grin.
"Yes, from my wife's sister, a terrifying spinster. She could have married well, but no. It's all liberation and argument. According to her, one day women will have the vote."
"Never."
"Just as long as I'm not alive to see it. Now I must get back to my duties. We're nearly there."
As he turned away, another young man who had been standing just behind them, listening to their conversation, came closer to John.
"To listen to you talk, you're a heartless devil," he observed.
"I am not heartless at all," John objected. "I am just attracted to a certain kind of lady. Dolls who never speak except to say, 'Oh, how wonderful you are,' and 'I'll never understand how you clever men think of such things.'" John grinned. "It makes for very engaging company."
For a short time,